This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So last night before Game 5 of the NBA Finals, Doris Burke, who is dynamite at what she does.
As good as it gets.
She is great at her job. That's BMAC doing that. Misogynist.
You know what? I kind of get it.
No, you know who liked her? Teddy J here.
I know. There's something about Doris Burke that's kind of appealing.
Yeah. She's so...
Sorry.
By the way, Rack was out at practice today, and I can't look at him now without thinking of that drop.
By the way, Rack worked with Jack Easterby in Kansas City.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. That's right. This gigantic Casario sales pitch is all going to come together. Focus here. Back to Doris Burke.
Yes.
Prior to Game 5 last night... Obviously, the big story coming into the game was Kevin Durant being back out on the court for the Warriors, and she gave the update from the Warriors medical staff on their level of concern over Durant suffering a re-injury of his leg.
Asked about the possibility of re-injury, Steve Kerr said, listen, we have no long-term concerns or Achilles issues. What we know is he could possibly tweak it, but that's their only concern, Mike.
Long-term concerns, and she mentioned specifically Achilles injury. It's absolutely incredible that this happened.
It's the worst possible injury. I haven't seen any confirmation on the MRI yet and what it's shown, but everybody that's involved in this thing seems to just be conceding that this is a torn Achilles.
I have no doubt that Doris Burke is speaking the truth, that that's what Steve Kerr told her. And if Steve Kerr told her that, to me, that means absolutely, positively, 100%. The conversation with Kevin Durant before last night did not include anything along the lines of, well, you know, there is a chance that this could happen or that could happen. It sounds like he got a clean bill of health.
Yeah, you can go.
Yeah. Especially with the no restriction on minutes that was reported as well and confirmed by the Warriors.
Yeah, I do wonder, Rich, what would have happened if they said, look, you can play on this thing, but here are the risks. Because Kevin Durant was catching a lot of heat up in the Bay Area. Tim Kawakami, who's one of the columnists up there, Sam Amick, who's a guy we've had on this show, a national columnist for The Athletic. You can go on Twitter. You can find the excerpts from their articles. There were articles out there from both of them, and I would imagine probably a lot of people in the Bay Area, fans, maybe even teammates, who felt like Kevin Durant should be back on the floor by now. This is a calf injury, and it's taken you a month to get back on the floor. Kawakami went as far as to name names of other Warrior players who have come back from injury and said something to the extent of, do you think that any of these guys would still be out if they were going through this?
Right? Every one of those guys owes Durant an apology.
A huge apology. And I'm not the biggest Kevin Durant fan, but
fair is fair.
Fair is fair. And the fact that he got back out onto the floor and that he was clearly playing on a leg that happened. I have a great deal of respect for Kevin Durant in this whole thing.
More than I used to.
Yeah, I think so. Now, we'll get to the ripple effects with the league and with what Durant's decision is now after the year. All of a sudden, the marquee free agent to hit the market, the guy that was going to be and granted, there are some other big names that are going to hit free agency, not the least of which is Kawhi Leonard, but Kevin Durant was going to be the LeBron James of this offseason that set the dominoes in place for everybody else.
And boy, did he drop a gigantic F-bomb on ABC.
He did, and it got out.
Yes, it did.
It got out.
Wow.
Yeah. I think after the game, probably the thing that had most people talking after the game was the press conference that Bob Myers, who I believe I think his title is bigger than general manager.
He's executive VP and general manager.
Okay, so he's the guy who puts this team together. And he was the guy who was with Durant back in the locker room after he got injured. It was Bob Myers who went back into the back to spend time with Durant before Durant left the building, because he left the building before the game was over last night to go to the hospital. Here is Bob Myers, the executive VP and general manager of the Warriors, saying, if you're going to blame somebody, blame me.
Kevin had it's an Achilles injury. I don't know... the extent of it. He'll have an MRI tomorrow. Prior to coming back, he went through 4 weeks with our medical team, and it was thorough, and it was experts and multiple MRIs and multiple doctors, and we felt good about the process. He was cleared to play tonight. That was a collaborative decision. I don't believe there's anybody to blame, but I understand this world, and if you have to, you can blame me. I run our basketball operations department.
That was some genuine stuff.
I thought it was kind of bizarre.
It was unusual, yes, and if you want to call it bizarre, that's fine, but I don't know how you could either watch that or listen to that and think in any way that Bob Myers was not being 100% sincere.
It would be odd for a GM of a team to walk up there and put on an act like that. So I fully believe that he was, you know, the faucets were real.
And he knew what this offseason meant to Kevin Durant, how devastating an Achilles tear can be, not only to the, you know, immediate future, but if not long-term future of an athlete. And he also, I think, probably felt a little, you know, he said, can't really blame anyone, but if you want to blame someone, blame me. And I get it, because I have to believe in his position, he feels responsible for the well-being of these guys.
Well, that's just it. And I think you just touched on something there. This is not a torn ACL. This is not a broken bone. This is not something that that just goes through a normal healing process to where you're back to where you were before. This is a 31-year-old player who suffered an Achilles tear. And we've seen other players in that same age bracket, maybe even a little older, suffer the same injury, and they don't come back the same way. Rich, it's not a reach to say that we may have seen the end, not the end of the career.
No, but he may never be the same player.
And he's been the best player in basketball this
year.
That's right. He's not going to win the MVP, but he is the, prior to the injury he suffered in the Rocket Series, he was the guy we were all talking about on shows like this and everything else as the consensus current title holder of best player in the world. We may have seen the last of the current best player in the world. That's the extent of this injury.
It's a devastating injury. If it's not career-threatening, it's certainly potentially career-changing.
Yeah, a little more from Bob Myers. Here's Bob Myers. After that, he went into a bit of a kind of a soliloquy on Kevin Durant, the person.
Let me tell you something about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant loves to play basketball, and the people that questioned whether he wanted to get back to this team were wrong. And I'm not here to... He's one of the most misunderstood people. He's a good teammate. He's a good person. It's not fair. I'm lucky to know him. I don't know... I don't have all the information on what really the extent of what it all means until we get an MRI. But the people that worked with him and cleared him are good people. They're good people.
All right, so I feel like that whole thing was a setup to exonerate the doctors involved in this whole thing.
Yeah.
That was the tail end of it. The people involved in this decision are good people. Clearly, he's very fond of Kevin Durant.
If he's misunderstood, though, Sean, to be fair, Kevin Durant is largely responsible. If what Bob Myers says is true, that he's one of the most misunderstood people out there, Kevin Durant has played a big role in people misunderstanding him, if that is indeed the case.
Well, yeah.
By the way, he is both publicly and on social media and during games. He does not engender a whole lot of love.
He doesn't. And I feel like the things that you and I are talking about, maybe people disliking Kevin Durant for, are different than the things that Bob Myers is trying to make counterpoints to. I've never questioned Kevin Durant's toughness as a player. He's obviously not a guy who builds his game around physical force. He's a beanpole. But I've never questioned his toughness. I think Myers is talking about the folks out there who are out there. We just cited a couple of them that are out there that are basically saying that he didn't want to get back on the court. He was taking an overly cautious approach,
yeah,
which I think could be construed as a selfish approach entering free agency by staying out as long as he did. Well, he put that to bed last night by playing. Not only he put that to bed just by getting out onto the court. Forget about the fact that he ended up shredding his Achilles. He got back on the court for his team last night.
Right. And you know what else, at least in my opinion, he's put to bed? I never questioned the decision to go to Golden State. Some did. Some called it ring chasing. I have no problem with ring chasing. Ring chasing's been going on in the NBA for a long time. I have no problem with guys looking for situations where they're more likely to win championships. But the reason I say he put it to bed is because in the last two NBA finals, he didn't just, you know, gravy train his way to a championship ring. He was finals MVP in back-to-back championship series. He led Golden State to two consecutive championships. He did not jump on a train and have other people do the hard work, and he benefited from it. He did the hardest work in winning those two championships.
Yeah, that's fine. And, Rich, I'm somebody who I didn't like him going to Golden State. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he didn't deserve those finals MVPs, nor am I going to tell you he wasn't the best player on the floor in those finals. The hardware bears that out. Where I had the issue with Kevin Durant doing that, really two things. One is, if I have to evaluate him alongside other all-time greats, it does matter to me that he chose to go to a 73-win team to get the two rings that he got. That matters to me when I'm comparing him to the Kobe Bryants and LeBron Jameses of the world. That I will factor that in. That's my own evaluation. I do think where he gets a lot of scorn from NBA fans, and I do feel this way as well, is that him going there kind of broke the league. The Rockets are the only team up until now, over the 2 years that they won those championships, the Rockets are the only team that even came close to standing toe-to-toe.
But didn't LeBron come close to doing that when he joined Dwayne Wade in Miami and lured Chris Bosh there?
Not really, because it took him a year to... They lost in the championship the first time around.
Right, but they won two.
They ended up winning two, but not to this extent, where they were just steamrolling everybody in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, like that's...
But I felt like when those three were at their peak and together in Miami, it was almost a fait accompli that Miami was winning the East.
And they did all four times. But then LeBron, I think that's more LeBron than it. Like LeBron, wherever he went in his prime, was going to take whatever team he was to winning the Eastern Conference. Like Right. You can't fault him for that. The Durant thing's a little different to me. And I think, look, the numbers are there. They, other than the Rockets in the Western Conference Finals last year, over that two-year period with a healthy Durant,
right,
completely broke the league. And I think it made it a little bit boring, that's all. So the big losers in this Durant thing, Rich, in my mind, other than Kevin Durant himself getting injured, the Warriors, in all likelihood, are probably going to be paying him $31 million a year next year.
He's going
to rehab an injury.
Yes, he is. I think it's very unlikely, although you can never predict the behavior of a desperate billionaire NBA owner, but I think it's very unlikely, given the injury, that the same sort of offers will be out there for him on the market that there would have been had he been healthy. But you never know. Maybe somebody's going to go nuts and still offer him crazy money. But I think the most likely scenario is he exercises his player option to be an employee of the Warriors for one more season for $31 million while he rehabs the injury. And this big life-changing contract will take place next offseason, not this offseason.
The problem just from a purely an intrigue standpoint, is that he has to opt in before free agency starts. You know, he's got to make a decision. And for those who don't know, because I think everybody just thinks, oh, Kevin Durant's a free agent after this year. He actually has a player option for $31 million that everybody just assumed he was going to opt out of, either to go to another team or to re-sign with Right. Golden State for another couple of years. Now I think he's going to opt into that. They'll pay him $31 million.
And then Klay Thompson is getting a deal this offseason also. Kevin Durant opting into that $31 million is going to squeeze Golden State probably into luxury tax area.
Oh, without a doubt.
Without a doubt, that they probably hadn't been planning on entering. But my guess is Lacob and his partner will gladly jump into based on what they've gotten in return.
They're getting banged with repeater tax, I think, at this point. I mean, they've had an expensive roster.
Yeah.
The number I saw, Rich, that if they the wow. number the number I saw
repeaters are very punitive.
The number that I saw. If they max Clay and bring him back, if they let Durant, well, not let Durant, if Durant opts in to the last year of his deal, the total payroll number for Golden State next season, you ready for this? $276 million.
Does that include all the penalties?
Include all the luxury tax and everything else.
And, well, I guess the timing is right because they're moving into the new cash cow building.
$276 million?
Like I said, they're moving into the new cash cow building in downtown San Francisco.
But that's a number, man. Even if you're a billionaire, no, there's you look no at it and go, that's a monster.
There's no doubt.
Monster number.
Does this cast any doubt over their willingness to pay Klay Thompson what it's going to take to keep him?
I don't think so, because we saw what this team looked like without Klay Thompson.
I agree.
You know, they still need to evaluate this team as a basketball team. And you I think we saw in game three of this series, Rich, you got to have the Splash Brothers out there. It can't be the Splash Brother. It can't be Steph Curry out there going against.
There's no doubt.
I don't know if Steph can hold up for however many games you need to carrying a team like that. Draymond Green's a nice player and all, but Steph is completely carrying the offensive weight of that team.
And Klay's the Iron Man.
No Klay out there. Yeah.
I mean, I know he missed a game in these finals, but he's an Iron Man.
And he plays both ways, too. You know, he's a really good defensive player as well. Like, that's a guy, I got no problem maxing. There are going to be guys who get max deals every offseason where you go, why is that guy getting maxed? Klay Thompson's not one of those guys.
And real quick, Sean, I know we talk about the Warriors a lot, and we don't talk a lot about the defense, but Kyle Lowry had a clean, open look to win a championship last night.
Yeah.
And the only reason he had that was because, number one, Andre Iguodala was incredibly quick to rotate to Kawhi Leonard on the perimeter and deny him the opportunity to win the championship with a game-winning shot. And it went to Kyle Lowry, and Draymond Green was equally as quick and sharp and incredibly fast on his rotation into the corner to get a fingernail. That was a Olajuwon John Starks moment last night to get a fingernail on that jump shot for Kyle Lowry. Those were two incredible defensive efforts on the part of the Warriors.
If you're a Raptors fan, you still feel okay because you got two more cracks at it. You're favored to win the series. Worst case, you know you're getting a home court, game seven, to win it all. I still think if you're the Raptors, you feel pretty good about winning on Thursday night in game six because of how banged up the Warriors are right now. And maybe how much they had to empty the chamber just to win game five on the road. But man, if you're a Raptors fan, I know you got those two chances at it, but you had a shot. You had a shot to win an NBA title. A shot to win an NBA title.
And how much does that play into this whole dynamic from a psychological standpoint? Hanging over their heads for however long this series goes on is going to be the knowledge that they had it in the palm of their hand and they blew it.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay. And I'll cite something you brought up earlier in the show. These are two teams, Rich, where the road team has won the last four games. I think these are two mentally tough teams. I think these are two teams that are able to kind of turn the page pretty quickly, have short memories. Look, let's not forget, this was a Raptors team that was down 2-0 and circling the drain against the Milwaukee Bucks, and they were able to win four straight against a team that I think everybody thought was, if not the favorite to win the NBA championship, at the very least, a strong favorite to win the East. This is the last 3 minutes of last night's game notwithstanding, this is a mentally tough Raptors team.
If the remainder of this series wasn't must-see already, it certainly is now.
It is, indeed. All right. The other big losers in this Durant thing, by the way, the New York Knicks, who probably were already printing Kevin Durant jerseys. Do they still print jerseys? Is that what they do? Poor James Dolan.
I guess. Although
that's what James Dolan gets for murdering the music world.
Hey, The Athletic is reporting that Anthony Davis is very interested in the Knicks.
Well,
the report is Knicks or Lakers. He's down to two teams.
Okay, well, two real winning franchises there lately, huh?
It's true.
Right. AD's all about it. The other big losers, the people in Toronto that were cheering the injury last night.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good look.
Like I said, that felt like Brad Lidge and Albert Pujols at Minute Maid Park in 2005.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.